Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning and welcome back to Happy Hour once again here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, and myself. I'm Frankenberry, and we have ourselves another Sunday morning and another surely fantastico show ahead.
Yes, it is our pre-Christmas.
Charisma.
That's almost like charisma-is. Because yes. That's what we're all about. We're all about charisma here at Happy Hour. So our charisma-is show.
Our magicness.
Yes, our magicness.
Yes.
So true to form, something has occurred to me because I am just about done with my Christmas shopping and was reminded that every year, probably for the last 1,000 years, around this time, something messed up happens with my credit cards.
Wait a minute.
What?
Are you saying you're over 1,000 years old?
No, silly.
Are you like Genie?
Like I dream of?
Yeah. Oh.
You know, I could...
Yeah, right? I could be.
I could see you in the bottle on those very comfy couches, that nice round couch she had in the bottle.
La, 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 la. I used to love her outfit. You know,
who
her
didn't?
Little midriff.
I wanted a bottle just like Jeannie. I wanted a fort out in my backyard that was a bottle just like
big
hers
bottle.
That I could go into and hang out.
And a big ponytail.
Yeah.
Like hers. I love her ponytail. She still looks amazing, that Barbara Eaton. Wait, is she dead? Dead? Could she be?
That
is probably a question.
Oh, that's
that
hilarious.
If she's alive, she still looks great.
That should have come before the statement, is what I'm thinking.
I know. Oh, I used to love that show.
Oh, I know. It was a great show.
Speaking of tangents.
Yeah.
And, oh, do you
No,
one?
It was a tangent. Oh, that was my tangent. So, something very annoying.
Go figure.
Happened. And it was almost like, so every year around this time, one or more of my credit cards gets compromised. And in this day and age, I still don't know how it happens. It happens because of hackers. Because now my credit cards don't even have the number like on the front. So like
right.
Even if you put them on the table, nobody can see what the number is, which is fantastic. But I get a call from American Express and they're like, did you just try to charge 1 cent at some store in Italy? And I'm like, I wish, but no. So they cancel that card. They send their, and they're very good about overnighting another card. So I don't think anything of it because it's happened a million times. They caught it. I don't have to worry about anything. So oddly, I, you know, continue to do my Christmas shopping and blah, blah, blah. It's a little bit of a pain for some of the things we have to re-enter, but it's not a big deal. So, 2 mornings ago, I get an email from QVC. And QVC says to me, we seem to be having a little problem processing your payment for your recent order. Please contact us. So now I go, The odd thing is, I shop QVC. You know me. I'm middle of the night. Remote in one hand, phone the other, credit card. Like, boom, boom. Like, you know, like my holster. So I go to the QVC website to remind myself what my recent
order. Of what you ordered.
Because it's Christmas. Dang it. I'm ordering stuff.
Yeah.
And I can't log on to the website. So I'm like, genius. Let me search for a QVC email in my email. And I get one. And it says, and I quote, thank you for your recent order of a $1,700 Acer laptop.
No.
Now, I shop a lot in my sleep, but I know I didn't buy no $1,700 Acer laptop.
And you're a Mac girl.
I am a Mac girl through and through.
What?
So now I'm like,
But they should have record of the shipping address, right?
Right. So now, I figure I'm just going to ignore that because obviously they can't process the pay. That might have been connected to, and it says your payment on American Express. So that's probably the red flag and they can't process payments. There's no payment, so they can't send it, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time 45 minutes with customer service with this. I'm just going to ignore it. Fine. and I'll let you know how that goes. Meanwhile, something new happened this year, and that is I got the other night, I got bombarded with spam emails, but not just spam. It's from overseas. Somebody signed me up on like 1,000. You know when you subscribe for newsletters and stuff like that? I'm on 1,000 of them, and most of them are European. And I'm like, this son of a bee sting, mad because this transaction doesn't go through, stuck me on 1,000 lists so that I would get bombarded all at the same time with thank you for subscribing to our news. Thank you. And in all foreign languages. So I have to junk them and junk. And how come, and not on my Mac, on my desktop at the office, which is not a Mac, they just keep coming. And that is more torturous than having to replace a credit card. It's like sheer torture. And I don't know why the spam filter is not getting them, but maybe because they think I actually signed up for this crap. What a way to, A, ruin my darn holidays. And B, what a great way to annoy somebody. Like if you could do that, like to exes, ex-boyfriends, people you don't like.
Just sign them up for a bunch of newsletters and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I knew somebody that when if he was ticked off at somebody would sign people up for like nasty things. Like a magazine and
not just
that
order
that
pizza.
You would have to explain when
wow.
Anyway. So I don't know what the answer is, but I'm all of a sudden now, I'm really restrictive as to what I don't sign up for text notifications. Like I really try to keep my number and my emails as private as possible. And anything that I buy, you always use one email for it. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got my number. Somebody's got another one of my emails that I try to keep private. And I'm getting all sorts of wacko. It's like once you get on one list, then they sell those lists. And they sell them and sell them and sell them. But I keep getting calls. For you getting the auto extended warranty for your car one?
Oh, I get that. I get that
those.
One. Yeah,
yeah, I get those. Never do that, by the way.
I get the ED ones too.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
but now my phone keeps ringing.
Coming back to that,
put a pin there. Put a pin in it. Yeah, so my phone keeps ringing with these bogus calls. And you don't want to miss the calls that you do need, and it must be even harder for you as an attorney,
right?
Because you have to be available on your phone. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to somebody the other day about it that I feel I wish there was more that you can do, and I thought I saw something the other day that maybe Congress is looking to limit that. But I feel like it's almost like mental trespassing. Like, right? Like, okay, so I own property, and if I put no trespassing signs, you're not allowed to come on my property.
Right.
There should be a better way, and I say they have do not call lists, really. Has anybody tried that?
Doesn't work at all.
Right. So that I feel like it is. It's like invading, it's trespassing on me when I keep getting these crap calls I don't want.
I like that phrase. And I do know, like, if you have the wherewithal, and who's got the time to do this, but you can end up getting a few bucks when you're on a do not call list and they violate that do not call list by filing complaints. But you got to file complaints and follow up and blah, blah, blah. The iPhone has a beautiful little feature where you can block somebody through your phone so you don't need to be on the do not call list.
But the problem is... They use all different numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Yeah. They use, like, the one that I get, the phone calls that I get all the time, and I've gotten them for, like, 12 years because I made the mistake of ordering one thing from an online pharmacy like 12 or 13 years ago. And that's the ones I've told you about where they get very angry with me when I don't buy anything and they start cursing at me. Or well, actually, they only start cursing at me when I call them back. And I keep calling them back and I keep hanging up. But I've had them call me 3 times in one day and have the area codes all be completely different.
Yeah, different.
You know, so I mean, so you can block one if you want, but they just, you know, they just roll them over to a new number.
Yeah.
You know, which makes it even more maddening. I get like 6 of those phone calls a day. And like you said, I don't want to miss anything important. I do I like filling out the surveys that, you know, might give you a chance to win $100 or free groceries or something like that. So for all I know, it could be one of those things maybe calling me and saying, hey, congrats, Frankenberry. You actually got lucky on this one. And
they're data mining you when you sign up for those, by the way.
What's that? Well, nothing I can do. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
We're all data mined. I mean... Really, but it's just such a violation when, you know, thank God for credit card companies make it kind of painless, but...
I can't imagine how much it costs the credit card companies annually for fraud like that.
But they catch it, man. And, like, how do you do that? You know, one time in band camp, it was either it was either last year or the year before, somebody got a hold of a credit card number. They actually, the purchase went through because I got delivered to I got delivered to me something that I didn't buy. But it, so the transaction worked, and the company, like, it was like from Best Buy or something, and it was like a $300 thing.
Wow. But it came to your address.
Came to my address. So they're not, they're getting, somehow they get the numbers, but they don't also get the shipping address, I guess. I don't know. I have no idea how it works. I have no idea how they figure out when you've been defrauded. I mean, the 1 cent thing is a...
Yeah, it's a test, and they...
But it was so funny, too, because right before this happened, I went to a really shady car wash. And, you know, and I'm always, I always look at the little slot where you got to put your credit card, and I didn't have the right amount of cash put in there, and I'm like, this probably ain't going to be good, but I'm going to trust.
Oh, no.
So I did it anyway, and it was that card, and it takes no time for it to, for somebody to get your number. But I'm not gonna let this Grinch ruin my Christmas. But if a $1,700 Acer laptop shows up, I'm gonna have to think long and hard about sending it back for my trouble.
I remember a few years ago somebody hacked your debit card. I remember you had to go into the bank and you were fighting with them.
Oh, I had to file a police report.
And you were like wired up, and the girl was like, I'm a really big fan. Remember? And you were like, oh.
Which was just one of those, every once in a while I get a reminder that I have to behave out with
out
the
in
people
public, in the peoples,
out with
yes.
the peoples, because you know. Did I tell you guys, since this is the Christmas show, that did I tell you this? All right, so this is completely off topic, but it is Christmas. That so every year we have a Christmas party, Jonas Bill Warlock Christmas party, and we have one this year as well. Last year, so after our actual Christmas party, we usually go out and about. Nobody drives. Mm-hmm. We go out and about, and we pretty much pub crawl, right? For a little, till we can't stand anymore, then we all go to our respective homes. Last year, we got kicked out of not one place.
What?
But two.
Stop it.
And it wasn't even our fault. So it wasn't even like I could, you know, go home and be like, oh, I was such a jerk, I shouldn't do that in public. It was like, we were railroaded.
Stop it. And why are you taking a year to tell us this story?
I can't believe it. I forgot.
What happened?
All right. So the first, I'll keep the places out, even though I should out them. All right. So the Christmas party is always in the afternoon. So the after party isn't at night. The after party is like 5 o'clock. Like happy hour, mm-hmm. hence the name of this show. So we moved the party to a, it's a bar slash restaurant. It's got a bar and a restaurant. And since when we drink, we get hungry, even though we eat at the Christmas party, we all, there was 12 of us, we all sat down and started ordering food and drinks. Like, it's a big, it's,
well, that's what you do at a bar restaurant.
That's what you do. So, and we're all, and there's a bunch of us. So we're all laughing and telling jokes and ha ha ha. Well, apparently there was somebody else having dinner, a couple having dinner in this bar restaurant, and we were being too loud for them. And honestly, all we were doing was laughing and telling jokes and blah, blah, blah. And it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're in a bar restaurant. So the waiter came over and said, you guys got to keep down. And then I think what might happen,
might have happened.
But it's all fuzzy now, so don't hold me to it. I might have said something to the establishment like, well, you know, sorry that we're having fun in your place of business. We are also spending a lot of money.
You got 12 versus 2, and they chose to ask you to quiet down.
And they're,
do that math.
And I think that's what I actually said, like, do the math. And it, you know, I could, it wasn't like we were setting the place on fire or dancing on the tables or doing something like that. We were sitting and eating and drinking and laughing. Don't you want that for your patrons?
Oh my.
Right?
Have you been
That's
back?
That's generally the concept.
No, no. When that happens, I boycott. If you rub me the wrong way, you are banned for life. Sometimes I've temporarily banned you, and then I always end up just banning them for life anyway because I know I shouldn't go back. And they've been banned for life.
So you all got up and left?
We all got up and left. And then we went to the next place.
Paid your bill, I'm sure. I know.
Oh,
you.
No, of course. And with a tip, like, you know, I'm conducting my business, but you won't see me again. went to the next place that we had to walk to, and we're a bunch of lawyers. We're just a bunch of dumb lawyers. But in order to be a lawyer, like, there are no Doogie Howsers in my establishment. You need to be a certain age, education, blah, blah, blah. Well, they carded all of us, which is fine, except one or two of us didn't have driver's licenses on us, so they wouldn't serve us. So then I tried to talk reason with them, like, we're just a bunch of dumb lawyers, but we're all dumb lawyers over 21 because logically you gotta be. And she was like, yeah, you ain't drinking here.
Wow. Oh, I can't wait till break to find out who these places are.
Like, okay, take my money.
So did you go out this year? Have you had your party yet?
Not yet. It's coming.
You're gonna go out?
Oh, yeah.
You gotta find a third place.
Oh, I already picked it.
Oh, okay.
I already picked it.
Did you tell them you're coming?
Yeah.
Nope.
Just in case?
I'm not letting anybody know nothing. Nope. But I'll tell you what. I have a good feeling that we are going to be okay because I happen to know other people from this particular building that we are in right now who throw parties at the place that I'm planning to go for an after party. And nobody complains. And they can party way worse than me. So there you have it.
That's interesting. I can't believe we didn't hear this story last year, Frankenberry. She's holding out on us.
I'm surprised as well, but maybe that fuzziness lasted a little bit longer than she expected.
Well, there was probably something else that she wanted to complain about more at the time.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
There is that.
There could have been that.
There's levels of complaining for Jonas Spielberg. That might have been only, say, a 2, whereas you came in with a 6.
No, you know what happened? Here's what happened.
What happened?
I probably had my office Christmas party, and then the three of us, were on our 2-week usual holiday break. So by the time we came back,
I'd forgotten how mad I was.
And a bunch of other fuzzy stuff took over.
Yeah. So it
wiped
was
out the original
thing.
Fuzzy.
It was a timing thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I'll make sure I record my level of upsetness this year should something occur.
You always have a story. Always.
She does always have a story. And you know what? Before we go to break here, uh-huh. I think what you can do with the person who not only took your credit card information and ordered that laptop and then also filled up your inbox with just mailer after mailer after mailer.
Yeah.
What I think you should do, Jonna, is turn it into lemonade. Turn those lemons into lemonade and say to yourself, I'm going to go into the new year and learn a new language. So that I can read some of these foreign emails that have filled up my email box.
Oh, you're such an optimist. What? Great idea.
And I am not. But who do
I
we got
your
coming
suggestion.
Up?
Oh, I was just going to try a Sagoo.
Oh, you should try a Sagoo.
No, I was going to say, you guys are stressing me out. It's just, it's awful.
That's not
See,
a really
you know,
good
we
Sagoo.
Really should have done it. No. Okay. So, stick around. Seriously, we have coming up Paul Napper. He is the co-author of a new book, The Power of Agency. You're going to find out what agency is. The 7 principles to conquer obstacles, make effective decisions, and create a life on your own terms. So, Frankenberry's counting the words in the subhead. It's
16? Seriously?
So, here's the big idea with this book. Surprise, surprise, that there's a silent epidemic in America, and that is a near constant state of anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
And according to the World Health Organization, the United States is the most anxious nation on earth, with at least 1 in 5 people, 40 million Americans, currently diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. So this book actually addresses that. Not so much how do I make all these changes around me, but how we can take or get more of a sense of control over our own lives and the things that are important to us. So when we come back, Paul Napper, author of The Power of Agency.
Okay, that is what we have on the way, and we'll be right back with our guest in our second segment.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And you've got Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spielberg and Carol Pesci. And we are in our second segment here. And as always, it's time to get to our guest. And we're going to talk today about being, a little over-anxious. And we're going to talk to Dr. Paul Napper, who's got some ideas to help us alleviate some of our anxieties.
Yeah, so this may not apply to anybody, or actually, I'm being wise, might apply to everybody, there is a known silent epidemic in America, which is a near constant state of anxiety. Can anybody relate to that? I mean, does that anybody feel stressed at all? Anxiety?
Never.
You just stressed me out saying it out loud.
Oh my gosh. So we have on the line with us Dr. Paul Napper. I'm going to call him Paul because we're friends now. Mm-hmm. He is the author of The Power of Agency, and we're going to start when we get to him with finding out exactly what agency is, at least his definition of it. The seven principles to conquer obstacles, make effective decisions, and create a life on your own terms. So Dr. Paul Napper, he leads a management psychology practice. His client list includes Fortune 500 companies, nonprofits, universities, and startups. He has held an advanced fellowship during a three-year academic appointment at Harvard Medical School, and as I mentioned, is the co-author of the new book, The Power of Agency, The Seven Principles to Conquer Obstacles, Make Effective Decisions, and Create a Life on Your Own Terms. Dr. Paul, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I mentioned on break when we got started here, and I have to give a public plug for you. John and I are both avid readers of self-help books, mm-hmm. and I started reading your book in preparation for our interview, and I am going, oh my God, that's me. Oh my God, that's my husband. I am so relating to the anxiety and stress and what this loop, like we're on this feeling, a stuck loop of feeling not in control of our lives and the stress that we're feeling. And while that may be the bad news, the good news is your book is a powerful tool to understand what's going on. And what you talk about is how a lot of times we are dealing with these symptoms of anxiety, but not really understanding and addressing the root cause. So
you hit it right on the head. That's exactly what we wrote this book to address.
And, well, you just answered my question. The first thing, and maybe get into a little bit more here, two things I would like for you to explain. Why? Tell me why. What's the story behind why you and Anthony Rao wanted to write this book? That's my first question. Second question is, help us understand, what is agency? You're saying the power of agency.
Great questions. First, I work primarily with business leaders, and I've been doing this work now for about 20 years. So my mission is really to help business leaders to realize their goals and career aspirations. So 20 years ago when I first started doing this work, I would occasionally hear from these folks I work with, that they felt overwhelmed. They'd had an overwhelming day, or sometimes it was an overwhelming week, and it was just, tremendous number of problems or issues. Fast forward to 20 years later, and I hear the word overwhelm practically every day in the work I do with business leaders. I mean, these are obviously high-achieving people who, outwardly look like they're at the top of their game and look like they have everything going for them. And these folks are experiencing very frequent periods of overwhelm. So I was experiencing that in my practice. Anthony Rao, my co-author, he works with kids and families, and he works with a lot of families, where there's a lot of stress, parents have high expectations. He was experiencing the same thing, a lot of overwhelm. And so we put our heads together. We thought, what is the nature of this? What's causing it? Why does it seem so widespread? Why is it happening now? And what are the effects of it? I mean, what actually are the effects of it? And so that's really kind of where agency enters in, because agency is human agency. If you Google it and you look at the definition of human agency on Wikipedia, for example, you'll see it's agency is all about the human experience. It's our capacity to make choices in our lives, to direct our lives toward what we want to experience in our lives, what matters to us, in other words. So it's agency is key to creating a fulfilling life. And what happens when people feel, prolonged stress, which leads to, periodic overwhelm, and then actual anxiety, which is when stress doesn't go away, it just sticks around, is that our confidence level plummets. And so when we feel a lot of anxiety and worry, we don't have the same level of confidence in our capacity to navigate in our lives and make decisions in our lives. And so for a lot of people, that's what's at stake. So we wrote this book to try to get underneath all of that and help people to, you know, regain control of their lives and feel a sense of confidence again.
I would like to read something from your introduction. You say that we exist in a constant state and constant buzz of worry and anxiety that we're not doing everything we're supposed to be doing. Check. This creates a negative feedback loop in which we can't get things done because we're anxious, and our inability to get things done makes the list grow and grow, leaving us ever more anxious. All of this anxiety makes us seek distractions like Facebook, Netflix, making it harder to show up for others and ourselves. We become isolated and depressed, making it harder to get stuff done, even more so, leading to anxiety. And then when it comes to making a decision, reaching any decision becomes difficult. Mm. It's this loop around. I swear to you, my husband will come home sometimes, and this happened not too long ago. I'm like, we're getting takeout tonight. You want this or this? And he'll just look at me like,
can't make the decision.
I can't make another decision.
Oh my God, that's me.
Oh my God. And I get it. And I don't give him a hard time. I'm like, got it. Understood. So can you speak to that loop, that negative feedback loop that I just mentioned from your introduction?
You're in good company, because that is, as it turns out, that is a pretty common experience that a lot of Americans are feeling right now. And what many people don't realize is, to get back to your earlier point about anxiety, is, you know, 20% of American adults are diagnosed with a clinical anxiety disorder at this point. 20%.
Wow.
So that's 40 plus million Americans are carrying around a diagnosis, an official diagnosis. There are millions more who hover beneath the clinical line, symptom line. So it's a big problem. And anxiety is socially contagious. It spreads from person to person. So, you know, and we go into detail in the book about why that is, how it happens. But, you know, if you're around highly anxious people, you start to feel anxious. So, you know, it's important to understand sort of why we're all feeling more anxiety. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it, you know, but the world, you know, in case, you know, you haven't noticed, the world's changed a lot in the last 20 years, yeah. Right? It's changed a lot, and it continues to change very, very fast. The economy is changing, you know, jobs are changing. The rise of technology and social media has been an enormous change. We're literally bombarded with information today in a way we've never been before. And frankly, you know, most of us are cognitively overwhelmed, you know, a lot of the time, because we have so much coming at us. So one of the first orders of business for people is to learn how to develop healthier habits, set some limits and boundaries around the information coming they allow to enter into their brains. Because when our brains are in an overstimulated state, that actually over time it generates stress and anxiety, and our confidence level, you know, deteriorates. So what we found is, you know, for people, there's a seesaw relationship between anxiety and confidence, meaning that when we're more confident, we feel less anxiety. When we feel more anxious, we have less confidence. So we wrote this book to get underneath that and help people to develop more confidence in themselves, in their capacity to make decisions in their lives, and to do it on their own, you know, on their own, through their own power. So there's a lot of reasons why, you know, that we're so anxious and overstimulated right now. But the critical thing, though, it does spread from person to person. You know, it's the gift that keeps on giving, I like to say.
Yeah. And well, here's one question for you. You know, from the book. Now, Carol is, you know, she's the one that's started to take a leap into the book. I have not. My apologies. But if you were able to say to somebody, you know, somebody that you came across, you said, wow, you are just ridden with anxiety. If you were able to give them just one small piece of advice for them to start down the road before they pick up your book, you were just trying to give them one thing at that very moment to try to ease them a little bit, what would it be?
The first thing I'd say is, pay attention to your environment. What environment are you in? Who do you surround yourself with? Who are the people in your life? And do you have an understanding of what can trigger your anxiety? What can make it worse? Because a lot of times when people take a little time and reflect on some of those basic things, they can start to understand that that there are so many environmental influences that are, you know, spurring on this anxiety. I think what the medical model, you know, kind of suggests is that there's problems inside of, you know, a person's brain. So, in other words, if you have an anxiety disorder, a lot of times people assume, well, there's something wrong with me. It's me. And what we're finding more and more is actually it's in the environment. The environment has gotten so crazy, so overstimulating, that, you know, the environment is making a lot of people sick. So, you know, we teach people to first pay attention to, you know, what's going on around you. What are you exposing yourself to? And so that would be the first order of business.
Okay, and I think people can understand that too. Like if you looked at somebody and they said to you, "Man, I'm so depressed," and you looked at him and said, "Well, your five best friends are all more depressed than you are." You know, so that's what you're surrounding yourself with.
Exactly. So if you're around people who are highly, highly anxious, who you know, are not supportive, really not capable of being there for you, you know, you're going to feel more anxiety. You're going to feel more isolated. And that's the other thing about agency, is agency, which is our capacity to, you know, access all our faculties and make good decisions. You know, our agency depends on us being around other people who help us learn, who challenge us, who support us, who encourage us to have a positive kind of sense of what's possible in life. And so if we surround ourselves, you know, with more negative people and people who have a more hopeless attitude or people who discourage us, or worse yet, people who abuse us, our level of agency plummets. And you know, what that means is, you know, our confidence and our capacity to navigate through life, you know, is shot. And so in any case, it's simple when you start breaking it down. In some ways, it seems like common sense, but believe it or not, you know, in this era, you know, a lot of us have forgotten some of these, you know, sort of more basic right. kinds of common sense ideas.
And Doctor, I'm sorry.
There's one quick point here, and on that. The topic of something simple that you can do. Yes, it's key to filter what comes into you. That's having the power of agency is to filter what's going on around us, choose carefully who we keep company with. But another simple point I want to make about what you say you can do differently is to move. Just get up and move. Go walk. Go do something different. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Movement. No, I'm really glad you brought that up. That's exactly right, because this relates directly to, you know, all the time we're now spending on digital devices, and you know the data on how much time the average kid and the average adult spends on a digital device is shocking. And what's happened as a result of spending so much time on digital devices is that our movement, you know, we're not engaging in more natural, healthy movement as much. We're not outdoors as much. We're not, we're not experiencing nature as much. And our bodies are meant to move. And part of, you know, having access to your full agency is kind of keeping your body healthy in a state of balance. And so, you know, we talk in the book about the importance of movement, of exercise, of eating properly, of getting enough rest. I mean, the average American is actually sleep deprived at this point, which contributes to the anxiety mm-hmm. epidemic. So we talk about taking care of your physical body, and movement feels good. And the other key thing on movement is when we feel stuck or trapped in any kind of situation, one of the best things to do when you're feeling that way is get up and move. Change your location. you know, take yourself to a different environment, take a walk, do something different, but we call it, in psychology speak, we call it break set, you know, don't just sit there stewing, because that's only going to make you feel more stuck.
Or change your state, right? This is Jonna, Dr. Paul. I think like Anthony Robbins will say, change your state. But I'm good for the stupid questions when we have a smart topic.
That's the attorney in the room.
There's no such thing as a stupid question.
Oh, I beg to differ.
We've all been guilty of them, Doc. All three of us.
I have two.
Try me out, okay.
Two stupid questions. Okay, so first stupid question is, it is possible, isn't it, to have anxiety but not have anxiety disorder? Like, when does it cross the line between, let's say I have anxiety for a few moments every day, Monday through Friday, but on the weekends I'm perfectly fine. Like, do I have an anxiety disorder or don't I have an anxiety disorder?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, that I would describe that as more likely situational stress and anxiety. And, you know, what happens is, you know, there's a direct relationship between stress and anxiety. And stress, just to be really clear, to make a distinction between the two, stress is when we have a physical or a bodily reaction, you know, to something that feels a bit like a threat. So, you know, stress, when we experience stress, our heart rate goes up, our breathing quickens, you know, our blood vessels constrict, you know, so that's when we feel an immediate sense of stress. If you're in a sustained, if you're constantly in a state of stress, meaning that your body is physiologically kind of in that aroused state, mm-hmm. it oftentimes can tip over into feeling anxious all the time. So anxiety is a more sustained thing. But if you're feeling it, you know, just in certain situations, that's a very different thing, and it's probably related to the situation. And that's what we're thinking, that most people who are dealing with anxiety, and you know, there's lots of Americans that are struggling with this. You know, if they pay closer attention to their bodies, they pay closer attention to their environments, there's things they can actually actively do about that. So for you, if you notice where you are feeling most anxious, you can start thinking of different tactics you can employ to make yourself feel less anxious. And so there's a lot you can do about it. And you know, for a lot of people, they don't realize it. And again, back to the digital device thing, when we're sitting on devices so much, and you know, that over time, you know, can produce baseline levels of anxiety, and it interferes, believe it or not, it can interfere with our thinking skills. And we live, you know, just one last point on this, we live in a very cognitively rich time, meaning that our brains are being taxed to think, to process, mm-hmm. to make sense mm-hmm. of what we're experiencing. And so we need our mental faculties. We kind of really, in our current environment, we need to have full access to our ability, you know, to kind of think and process. And that's what happens when we, you know, when we're feeling more anxious, is, you know, it can cut off access to our critical reasoning abilities. So, you know, and that's when it starts to get to be a problem. So when you know you have a clinical anxiety disorder, when you literally, it's interfering with your day-to-day functioning mm-hmm. in an enormous way. So that's a more direct answer to your question. So if you notice your anxiety is just off the charts and it's interfering with your capacity to engage and to work and to socialize, then, you know, you've got a bigger problem, and then that may well be a clinical anxiety disorder.
Well, phew, that makes me feel better, because
maybe it's not you.
Like the average American, right? You sound like the rest of us, because we're all dealing with this. It's literally, and guess what? We live in the Northeast, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Northeast, as a region, is the most anxious region in the United States. So we're like ground zero.
I used to travel for work, and I would go to the South, and they'd be like, "You're so nice for a New Yorker." I'm like, right. "We need to wrap up here. This is such an important topic if you're dealing with stress and anxiety and overwhelm, that sense of being stuck and having no power over your life. Please pick up The Power of Agency by Dr. Paul Napper and Dr. Anthony Rao. The 7 Principles to Conquer Obstacles, Make Effective Decisions, and Create a Life on Your Own Terms. I wish I could talk to you all day. Where can people get your book, learn more about you?
Well, the book's available anywhere books are sold. You know, it's obviously available on Amazon, and it's available in Audible and Kindle and hardcover. It's not out in soft cover yet. But you can also check out our website, which is powerofagency.com. And there's a lot of information there on agency. There's also a brief quiz that you can take that gets you started in thinking about your level of agency. So I encourage you to visit our website and check us out on Amazon and Goodreads and, you know, anywhere else books are sold.
Okay, Dr. Paul Napper, author of The Power of Agency, thank you for taking the time to talk with us and all of the care and work and effort that you put into your book.
Much appreciated.
Thanks so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed it. You guys do great work.
And we do appreciate it, and happy holidays to you, by the way.
You too. And you have all of you guys have a great holiday.
We are going to do our best. You've got happy hour here with John Spilbore and Carol Pesci. We're going to try not to get too stressed out about them, Doc. And yes, we've got happy hour with the two ladies here and myself, and we've still got one more segment to come for you, so stick with us. This is 92.9 WBPM.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is happy hour with John and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
This is Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM and another Sunday morning with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
Well, we certainly are an anxious society, so it's nice to have somebody out there like Paul Napper to kind of give us the heads up and give us some tools to get away from the anxiousness, huh?
And teach us how to, you know, get stuff out of the way so we can do what we want to do.
And even recognize what's going on, right?
Yeah.
So that we're not crazy. It's not a hopeless situation to recognize the signs when we are caught in this anxiety loop, mm-hmm. and how we ourselves have the ability to do something better with that so we can enjoy our lives more and learning how, like, when we are stressed, our mental capacity goes down and what we can do to raise our confidence, feel better about ourselves, and start taking at least more of a sense of control over our lives back.
This is funny, but along the same lines, I always forget the name, but you know it off the top of your head because we have talked about this several times before. And I will connect the dots in a second. The study with the frozen water where, like, if you yelled at one of the waters, it was, like, ugly when it froze, mm-hmm. and then the other one. Okay, so again, probably because of this credit card crapola, I said to myself one morning, I was like so amped up. I said, if they froze my face right now, it would look like the ugly water sample in that thing that I always forget the name of. But yeah, you can feel it in like every fiber of your being. And I'm sure if you can feel it, other people can see it, at least on me, I think.
Yeah, it affects everything. It affects the people around you and even the people who may not want it to affect. It's affecting you physically. And the author in the book you're talking about, the author is Dr. Masaru Emoto, and the book is called The Hidden Messages of Water. And if you want to take a look at something really, really cool, he did experiments with water where he took water from the same source, put them in different jars, and exposed them to sometimes different types of music. And the one example I use all the time when I speak is how he put love and appreciation on one jar. And I think the other one was I Want to Kill You or I Hate You or something on the other one. Same water.
Give me a credit card.
Then after doing that, he froze the water, put a sample under a microscope, and took images of the water. And the water from the I Love You jar looks like a gorgeous snowflake.
Wow.
And the one from whatever the negative, I don't remember the exact words, was brown and it looked awful. And so bottom line, and it may sound crazy and it may sound out there.
It does.
I know it does, but there's scientific evidence that shows now what we are thinking and how we are thinking actually physically alters matter around us. There's scientists, there's quantum, there's Nobel Prize winning quantum physicists who have proven this. So don't just take it from me, the co-host of a radio show.
I love it, though.
But yeah, when we are agitated or we're angry, it's affecting us on a physical level. That's not news. So, and it's not hopeless. And that's what was so great to talk to Paul Napper about, is no matter what is going on right now in your life, no matter how trapped you might feel or hopeless, there are still steps you can take to help yourself feel better, to start bringing your brain power back, that you actually can make good decisions to change the things that are around you.
Absolutely.
If you need to.
And you know, this is a really good time of year to talk about that, because the holidays are, I mean, we've had Thanksgiving, but Christmas, Christmas Eve, New Year's, where we all, number one, can be very anxious getting together with families.
Right. Well, this is
a stressful time of year.
This is notoriously the most stressful time of the year. I just saw a survey about that the other day.
And historically it is. And plus, you know, I do want to say something, and I don't want to get sad.
Does it sound like a jerk?
Because this is a happy show. But, this time of year, we should really take stock and be grateful for even the smallest of good things that we have in our lives. Because it reminds me, 3 years ago, I lost my uncle who I was very close with. I have a family member who last week lost a pet. And there can be a lot of sadness around us at any time, but it's compounded when it happens this time of year. And if you just take a second to be grateful for, like I said, even the smallest of things, up to the biggest of things. I mean, you could have tremendous things to be grateful for. It really helps keep everything in perspective, and that truly is supposed to be the meaning of Christmas, if you celebrate Christmas and the holidays. And I think it'll help you get through those family dinners and the eggnog.
It could. And you know what? And I'll say, Jonna, I eventually do get there to the being grateful for the positive stuff, but I'm going to give myself credit for the fact that at the moment, I'm just grateful for, being alive and being annoyed.
See, all right.
At least I have the ability to be.
Yeah,
annoyed.
I'll be at home and I'll see something. Something happens. It happens on a daily basis that annoys the crap out of me. And I'll yell, and then I'll go, but you know what? I'm still here yelling.
Right.
So I will be grateful for that. And eventually, I may be grateful for saying, well, my sister really does love me. I can be grateful for that. But right
Baby
now,
steps.
I'm just going to be grateful for being annoyed and still breathing.
Baby steps.
And also, in addition to gratitude, which you and I both, all of us actually, recognize and believe and practice, what also can switch our state of mind and state of feeling and lift our spirits is really, truly connecting with other people. We're connected in some sense with technology, but on another level, we're lacking that one-on-one connection.
Don't get carried away now, girlfriend, okay? She just said baby steps.
We're doing
good on my baby steps.
Can I give you an out?
Give me the out on the animals. We're all good there.
I know.
I love those conversations.
With your animals.
I love those conversations.
Oh, me
yes.
too.
They
oh,
always go exactly the way I want them to.
Yeah, I talk
well,
to my
until
dog
somebody poops.
All day long.
Can I tell you a quick fun story, which is just sort of about connecting with people? So you guys remember a guest we had on the show once or twice, Heather Hansen?
Yeah,
sure.
She's our good friend. So I met her for brunch the other week, and it was the funniest thing. So we go to this place that's all decorated nicely for the holidays, and there's a two women who are sitting at a table, and then there's a little space, and then there's the table that we're going to be sitting at. So I met her there. So I sit down, and when I sit down, Heather greets me, and she goes, "Hey, sister, Merry Christmas, blah, blah, blah." Well, one of the girls at the table directly next to us starts bawling. Right?
What?
So gets our attention. So we look over, and we're like, "Is everything okay?" And the girl who wasn't crying said, yes, it's just that, are you guys really sisters? And we're like, no, we're not really sisters. We're just friends who are like sisters. Right. And she's like, we're sisters. And she just looked at me and said, that's going to be us someday. And so now, because this girl's crying, I totally bite my tongue. I bite my tongue because I wanted to say, how old do you think we are?
That's so funny.
Because they were like in their 30s.
That's hilarious.
Right? And so I'm like,
No. Have a good brunch.
And now, hey, for the listeners that may not know, Jonna has so many stories about her age coming up in ways that annoy her and make her angry in restaurants and bars that you would lose count before she even got finished.
Forget it.
That's hilarious. And that can only freaking happen to you.
Right? And so I've been like, and then they finally left, and then I looked at Heather, I'm like, did you catch that? Did you catch that?
With that shaky head like that, it made you look like a Muppet.
Someday.
Anyway, I forget what we were talking about.
Sorry. That's
Christmas. Connecting. Well, we were talking about connecting with people.
Well, before we go, I do have to mention to people that while we were on break, now, Jonna, if you go back and catch this show online, in our first segment, Jonna was reminded of a Christmas story from last year and her holiday party at her law firm, and they got kicked out of one restaurant because apparently they were being too loud.
We were having too much fun.
Yeah, they were being too, restaurant-y, the things that you want to happen in your establishment.
Right.
They were doing that.
Yes.
So Carol asked her what the establishments were. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Jonna proceeded to tell her. But then she said, well, we're going to go hit a third establishment.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently the second establishment that didn't even let them in the door because they wouldn't believe that two of them were over 50. Called ahead to the next restaurant because somebody dropped the name as they were leaving. Well, let's go blank here.
To there.
And called ahead to say, hey, just want to let you know, the rowdy bunch is on the way. Those rowdy lawyers.
Those Grinches tried to ruin our night.
They did.
But they couldn't.
They couldn't, because the thing is, and here's the best part to end this show on, when Jonna got to this next location, the third one, the owner said, oh, they couldn't have been warning us about you. We like you.
Yep.
So there you go.
Ah, who got the last laugh?
There's a happy ending to that.
That is a happy ending.
All right. So this has been our holiday show. Thank you very much to Paul Napper and his brand new book, The Power of Agency, all about us being just a touch on the anxious side.
And what to do about it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And for Jonna Spilbore, for Carol Pesci, and myself, Merry Christmas, everybody.
And Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. Holidays. And we look forward to seeing you again and talking to you all again in 2020. And I just want to leave you with one little phrase that my father always told me when I was growing up. For those of you who believe, there will always be a Santa for as long as you are loved. And I love you guys
very much. We love you back.
Okay.
Sister.
That's going to be awesome. Jesus, how old are they?
Oh,
are we even going to live to be that old?
Oh, if I could have seen your face, I wish I was there. I would have probably snorted my drink right out my nose.
All right.
You would have had a resuscitation.
This has been Happy Hour. Thank you so much for tuning in. We do it every Sunday morning here, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.